This is Viva Podcast. Thank you for joining us in our morning daily devotion.
Dear friends, what does the death of Christ do? As we are in the season of the Passion Week and Good Friday, this is a question that we must reflect on. What does the death of Christ do? Three times in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus tells his disciples that he must suffer many things, be rejected by the religious leaders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law. After this, he would be handed over to the Gentiles, and they would mock him, spit on him, and flog him, after which he would be put to death and rise again on the third day. We see that in Mark chapter 8, we see that in Mark chapter 9, and also in Mark chapter 10. None of the disciples could get what Jesus was saying. They were all thinking about how Jesus would become increasingly popular, that he would soon establish his kingdom and give them positions of importance. Peter went to the extent of even rebuking Jesus. The disciples thought they were with Christ for over 3 years, but they did not really understand his mission on earth until he made it clear to them. It was after the resurrection that things were made clear by Jesus and by the Holy Spirit who helped them understand. So why did Jesus come? Or more specifically, why did Jesus come to die? What was accomplished by this death? This question has troubled many, and I'm sure you too have wondered about it. When someone dies tragically, people often ask, what was the purpose of so much of suffering and pain? Why did they have to be born to a life of suffering and sorrow? I wonder if Jesus' disciples thought about this when they were clearly told, though it is also written, that they did not understand or they were kept from understanding. But they were astonished and afraid. That is what we see in Mark 10 verse 32. In retrospect, as the apostles who were inspired by the Holy Spirit wrote about what the death of Christ accomplished, very clearly, and that is what we are going to briefly see today. Firstly, the death of Christ defines what love is. We see that in 1 John 3:16, which says, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, as we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Dear friends, God's love is different than natural human love. God loves us when we are utterly unlovable. When Jesus died, he died for the ungodly, for sinners, and for his enemies. This shows us for who we are before we come to Christ. We are his enemies, and he has loved us with this kind of love that sacrifices itself for his enemies. That is love, not the love that movies exaggerate and we blindly believe, or the love of parents that is idolized by Indian culture. But the reality on the ground is so completely different. Think of all the cases of female infanticide that we have heard of, or babies thrown into garbage cans or abandoned in toilets. Dear friends, love is defined by what Christ did on the cross. Secondly, the death of Christ restores us or reconciles us to God. We see that in Colossians chapter 1, verses 22 to 23. It says, and you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. In our relationship with God, along with the rest of the world, we were alienated and hostile towards him because of our sin. We did not naturally desire God or want to love him and lived against his law. But by the death of Christ, we are reconciled to God. Only the death of Christ on the cross achieves this reconciliation and forgiveness of sin. It is with this death that we can stand before a holy God, made holy and blameless and above reproach before him because of Jesus' death. Thirdly, the death of Christ was in our place. We see that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Think about this. We should have suffered for our sins. We should have rightly died for them on the cross. And even that would not have been sufficient for us to be forgiven by God. But Christ took it upon himself to bear our sins in his body on the cross. His agony on the cross was for us. His taking upon himself the sins of the entire world was an unimaginable suffering that he chose to undergo for us. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 tells us this: "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." This is what Jesus did when he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. He was the substitute who willingly went to the cross in our place. If we have never understood the death of Christ on the cross, please see it in this light. We were sinners born and under the just condemnation of God and should have rightly received the punishment of death for our sins. It was to die in our place for our sin, bearing our guilt and shame, that Christ died on the cross, taking all the punishment and giving all of his righteousness, because without it we could never approach God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Dear friends, what does this mean for us? The love that Christ showed for us is the love we are called to show. We see that in 1 John 3:16. Secondly, be ambassadors of Christ who call out and plead with all to be reconciled with God. Respond with worship, love, and awe at the depth of Christ's atoning and reconciling substitutionary death for us sinners. And lastly, die to the lie of sin that says we cannot live without it, and instead live to the righteousness that God has purposed for us in Christ.
Dear listener, we are here to stand with you in your time of need. We want to pray with you and for your prayer request. Do you need someone to talk to? We are here for you. Call us or send a message at +91 636 425 2164. +91 636 425 2164. God bless you.